to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My good friend Maggie Dawn, the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County, has agreed to join me today, and I'm elated, but even more, is we're going to have her back again and again. And for those of you who don't know this woman, this is as powerful and brilliant a woman as I know. And she is a fierce bare-knuckle brawler with all her intellect. No, I'm saying we're on issues. You will fight, anybody. It doesn't matter who it is, to make sure that things are right and for the average person.
Yeah. I love the argument, and I presume good intent for the most part. If you're willing to tell the truth and deal with reality, I'll have an argument with anybody about anything,
but
anywhere.
But not only do you love the argument, you're so well equipped intellectually to deal with it. Let's go to, we just lost him. Call back, who was the guy, man, from Racine? Sherman, call back. We'll bring you on. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Well, first off, I want to say, do you hear that noise?
Crickets.
That's the sound. No. There's a big sound of a blue tidal wave coming and hitting CJ's house. And he's not going to know what to do. CJ, oh, it's so funny. Wrong. This is going to be such a blowout by the Democrats. We just have to get out and vote.
Well, Tom,
registering and voting.
They don't think it's going to be a blowout, but
Let them keep thinking, because right. You know what? You take away a woman's right to choose. You take away someone's Social Security, and I think the Democrats ought to actually be running some ads on Joe Biden. Side that says, and Maggie, I want to know what you think, but I also have one other point to make, Earl. Please don't cut me off. Is that maybe we should start running some ads that say, here's the Republican plan for the midterms. And the plan basically is showing Rush and Ron over there in Russia on July 4th, 2018. And all these people making deals and showing Trump bowing and kissing the feet of Ben Salman. We ought to start showing that so we can say this is their plan. Their plan is to raise the gas prices. Their plan is to do this. And just show that in a commercial. The last thing I wanted to say was that I went to soulsforthepolls.wisconsin.org, which is what your guest said earlier. It's actually polls to the soul, or polls for the souls. WI.org. And I have actually gone and purchased two more URLs, polls to the polls Wisconsin.com and polls to the souls to the polls WI.com, which will be forwarded to souls to the polls WI.org. I don't know if you got all that or not.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is the correct web handle is soulstothepolls.wi.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And then I went and purchased two more.
Well, Maggie, don't say what. Don't say what those are, so we'll confuse people. The right website is soulstothepolls.wi.org. Soulstothepolls.wi.org.
Yep. Hey, Tom. Thank you very much as always, man. I really appreciate it.
And everyone, volunteer, get out the boat and really run this blue wave right over CJ and Lou and all of these other people, because they're going to lose. They're going to be sad and they're going to say it was rigged. I'm sure.
Hey, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. So, Maggie, let's talk about where we are in this nation right now. You've been around a little while, and what we're faced with, and not just in the nation, but globally, we're in a harrowing time, aren't we?
I don't know what else to call it. It feels like the biblical seven plagues, right? We have idol worship and the great orange man, right? That principles are now sacrificed to to simply for the sake of winning. There's no focus on what are the outcomes, what are the impacts on actual folks, right? You literally have half the world on fire, half the world is flooded. You know, we got the killer bees coming. I mean, it's I don't mean to be glib about it, but it's really at a very critical point. And that means that you need people that actually care about the impact of their decisions on people. And you can have good meeting conservatives, you can have good meeting progressives, you can also have people that only care about them their own political power on both sides. But it seems to me that by far and away, the vast majority of people who are willing to effectively transact away any principle, any value, to simply self-promote and acquire personal power are overwhelmingly on the right. And the right has been unwilling and unable to counteract those forces within the party. They've effectively resigned themselves to a Trump-styled Republican Party. That there is no Republicanism that is not Trumpism now. And anyone that disagrees from within the conservative movement, or from centrist pragmatists, or from the progressive left, who doesn't agree on every single point, they are screamed out of the debate. Yes. They are called unpatriotic, ungodly, and every other name in the book. They're threatened with physical violence. They are mentally attacked. And somehow the centrists and lefts are the snowflakes? This holds no intellectual currency. It is vapid. It is absolutely absent of any policy-making integrity. It is angertainment packaged up as a political party. And it's not just endemic here. You're seeing it in
Italy. Everywhere.
First Italian president is this far-right wackadoo. Yeah. You got Marie Le Pen in France. You've got these far-right nationalist movements in Germany and Poland. You got this, Truss in Britain, who, you know, in the midst of the Queen dying, basically said that she was going to get rid of the highest income tax bracket while half of Britain can't pay their energy bills?
So you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene. You've got Bobbitt. You've got people who are lunatics, right? And dangerous. And so now the nation is at war with itself. Never mind the threats from Russia and other places. We're at war inside of our nation. And the real threat comes from Americans.
Democracy dies from within. Democracy always dies from within. It's our tolerance for this kind of rhetoric and approach to political dialogue. I was saying on my own show on this station many moons ago, at the very onset of Trump's term in office, that these were existential threats to democracy, that the degradation of any norm in debate or in how government functions, the loss of any sort of ethical requirements, that conflicts of interest were to be avoided by government officials, that self-dealing was bad, all of that almost seemingly overnight went away. But the thing is, Earl, it didn't happen overnight. It required complacency from, and I'm going to be real honest here, the far progressive left who couldn't stomach the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. All of those folks who couldn't do that, who couldn't see their way through, that the principles were bigger than their own desire for faster progress. And I'm not an incrementalist, but when you talk about government, often incrementalism is the only way to bend that arc.
But also to keep the woman in her place. Democrat or Republican, that's an issue in this country. It's always been.
Well, that was it. I mean, Hillary Clinton's persona and affect on a male candidate, not a problem, people. We wouldn't be talking about Bill Clinton's affairs during her presidential candidacy if it was a man, right?
Like, yes.
That's just not what would happen. So the complacency of the far left progressive, the Bernie bros, but more deeply, the complacency of a large swath of decent conservatives who were willing to trade their own beliefs, their own sense of decency for tax breaks and conservative Supreme Court justices. So, shame on you.
So are you surprised? I mean, I really am truly just surprised that they're willing to follow a lunatic, a man who is a criminal, and they're always talking about law and order, conservatives, but we're looking at a man who is able and makes threats to have, you know, national political figures killed. And people, well, he didn't mean that. He knows what he has. He knows that he's got these people that he can manipulate. And I've gone to a couple of Trump rallies. I've seen the people who are there. He has total mastery.
Yes.
Over some of these people.
And it's exploitation of the poor, of the working middle and underclass, right, if you will. It is exploitative. The intersection that the current Republican Party trades on is the intersection of white anger, right? White under middle class anger that is a constantly shrinking portion of our society, and it's shrinking. The middle class is shrinking, not because of Democrats, but because of Republican policies, right? So it's the intersection of corporate big dollar interests and angry white.
So hold that thought. 844-967-2789. My guest is Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County, Ms. Maggie Dawn. Join us if you dare. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Earl Ingram Show. My friend Earl's just walking right in. I thought I'd bring us back from break. My friend, I hope you don't mind. Teamwork makes the dream work, does it not?
It is great to have my good friend Maggie Dawn back. And her voice is as powerful a voice as there is anywhere. And you know, we've got to figure out, we got to find a spot for you in this lineup, because people who are listening to us and didn't know anything about who Maggie Dawn is, your show was Dawn of the Resistance, and you are just as powerful a person as there is anywhere, and you need to be on the airwaves. So let's try to put some things into perspective with the inherent danger. When you hate, dislike somebody because they're progressive, right? An American citizen, right? Well, what did they do? Well, you're progressive. Okay, so, you know, and yet you follow a man who, if you had a son or a daughter and their friend was Donald Trump, as a parent, you would say, I don't want you following that person.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been able to convince all of these people. And the people were the way they were before he came into play. And I think that's what you were pointing out. He didn't give these people their thoughts. They've had these thoughts. They've been angry because their world is changing. Their lives are changing. And they are blaming Democrats because of the fact, well, you got these immigrants coming in, and they're allowing these people to come in and take the jobs, and they're allowing this. And so he's able to convince them of that. The real tragedy in it is that the policies of the very people they vote for at the root of why they're losing what they have.
So I think part of the fallacy of some of the dialogue that we're having today is that, as I said, that this is perceived as new. The seeds that are now being sown by Trump were planted long ago. And what the landed gentry, the white male patriarchal landed gentry understood in this class, in this country, was that if you give the poorest white man someone else to look down on and not to see the solidarity of interests, that will work, that will resonate. And it really preys upon these deeply rooted feelings of insecurity, fear of displacement that white folks have. And so the world is seen as a zero-sum game, when indeed it is not. By helping my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my friend, my church member, my family, that tends to rise and raise all ships, that tide does. But what has been sold is that if anybody who doesn't look like me does a little bit better, I lose. That has been the zero-sum lie that has been packaged and repackaged in various different ways by the Republican Party dating back to Nixon. There was no mistaking the intent and direction of the Republican Party when Ronald Reagan kicked off his presidential campaign in the very county where the six civil rights workers had been killed.
Right.
You know, the very seat of the anti-civil rights, of black oppression, sat in the South. These dog whistles have now been transformed from dog whistles into straight-up shouting through the vehicle of Donald Trump. But this has been the game plan, this fusing of gun rights and militarizing with a traditional male patriarchal Christian rooted.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with being Christian, just as there's nothing wrong with being Muslim.
Right.
Right? Like, this is a fundamental tenet of our democracy. And somehow, if you dare to question military spending or an anti-Muslim policy, or the kidnapping and illegal transportation of immigrants from a state that is not Florida with Florida taxpayer dollars to Martha's Vineyard, if you dare to criticize all those things, then you're ungodly, you're evil, you're anti-patriotic. But somehow, when these same talking heads criticize Joe Biden and call him all those things, they are the epitome of patriotism. This is a form of political gaslighting on a scale that I think we haven't quite seen. And it's gaslighting on that scale because of the influence and the complete permeation of the public square, if you will, by social media that simply runs an algorithm that will continue to promote the most popular, even if it is a flat-out lie, no matter how destructive it is. That is what is brought to the top of the search page, if you will.
Here's a prime example. And Raphael Warnock, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not, is a brilliant man who clearly...
And a good man.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He is indisputably. Here's what you don't... I'm sorry to interrupt, really grinds my gears. This is an indisputably good man who has lived his life in service.
He's a good human being.
And somehow, a womanizing, absentee father who lies as frequently as he takes air into his lungs is the better, more moralistic candidate?
So, Maggie, hold that thought. Herschel Walker, I used to like him as a football player. 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, is in the studio. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
to the Earl Ingram Show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. She's back. A good troublemaker.
Nasty women vote, girl.
Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. Maggie, you and I were talking. The phone line's open at 844-967-2789. You know, Maggie, I'm so worried about the future. And I'm a geezer. You know, there's some years, decades in between you and I. But I'm really afraid for young people and what they're going to inherit if we keep going down this path, right?
Yep.
I mean, the people before us didn't take it to this degree.
Right.
But here we are. We can't stand.
And it didn't get amplified in the same way it does today.
No, we can't stand other Americans. Well, we've got to control what the schools teach. Mm. We're going to shout down the school board members because you're not seeing it the way I see it. And doggone it, the way I see it is the right way. Yeah. Based on what?
Yeah, there's fundamentally, and there's so much in each of these what look like incremental degradation, right, of society in these fundamental societal institutions. There's such a lack of humility and an elevation. Our country has always had a real fervent, almost homage to individualism,
yes.
Right? And you don't see this in other places. It has great positive effects. It also has some negative ones, which is the idea that no matter how wrong I may be and how uninformed I may be, simply because I think it, I should be able to effectively actualize that thought. If your child is attending public school, that does not mean that your prejudices and ignorances should now burden other children. You are not an educational expert. There are people that actually go to school and study how to teach people in school.
Right.
It ain't you. If you want to teach your children that homosexuality is evil and wrong and against God, go ahead and do that in your church, in your home.
Right.
But the other children who don't subscribe to that same faith or that same interpretation of the root of Christianity should not be deprived of an education that promotes equity of treatment to all, empathy towards all. Right? This is, it's just a complete inversion. It's this, again, the liberal elites, right? That is somehow code for anyone who happens to have expertise should be doubted. That is a problem, right? I don't go to a podiatrist if I need brain surgery, right? I don't ask a trust and estates lawyer to help me if I'm charged with murder. Likewise, being a parent does not entitle you to dictate to a school board what should be in a curriculum. You're a parent. Nobody needs a license or any special training for that. We all know.
For heaven's sakes, they're pulling books out of libraries because a parent,
because
as you stated,
freaks out about it.
Yeah. So I hear people say, well, parents should determine what's in the libraries. Parents should determine what the kids are taught.
No. No. I'm so sorry to offend all those parents out there. No, librarians should determine what's in libraries. Subject matter experts in education should determine what children are taught. And there can be really good and meaningful debates about these, but it shouldn't be grounded in this religious zealotry. Simply because you disagree with an idea doesn't mean that it shouldn't be presented to your child, right? That's where the parenting comes in, to help your child contextualize information. Schools are supposed to teach children not dogma, but rather how to think and analyze what they're being told.
You know, Maggie, you're my parents. did not go into the schools and do what is being done now. They didn't. So where did this come from? It came from some politician or someone. And people, I talk to children all the time, and I always say to them, there's a reason you were given your own brain.
Yes.
To do your own thinking.
Use it.
Right? And then I always tell them, you know, when you allow somebody else to do the thinking for you, you're going to wind up in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
These people are allowing somebody else. They've given up their own thoughts.
Their independent thinking. The very root of individualism.
Groupthink.
Right, which is your brain.
Yes.
People have sort of turned that over. The otherization, right, otherizing and creating separation is one of the oldest and easiest rhetorical ways to actually make people act, right? Here is evil, here's the other, here's this enemy that we have to defeat. That actually gets people to behave in a different way. It does call them to action because fear is one of the most powerful motivators. Unity and hope and those things aren't as strong when you look at behavioral psychology. They just don't motivate in the same way. So for politicians, when you hear someone spew hate and fear, oh, wait a minute, why is this the languaging that's being used? It is intentionally manipulative, and it trades on some of our oldest and sometimes very unconscious prejudices. Our brains seek safety, and when we lack information, our brains will fill in that informational gap with effectively what occurs in our reptilian brains, and that is a preferencing for that which we know most close to us, meaning the images of the faces and the sorts of people that we grew up with, that we were born into. That tends to preference your own kind, meaning those that are most familiar to you. That isn't right or wrong, it's just the way brains work. But those of us who want a more just society understand that our reptilian brains work like that and choose to pick our knuckles up off the ground and engage the prefrontal cortex to turn the reptilian brain down.
Hey, Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. What do you say?
Good morning. Well, first of all, these people that want the state to determine what's being done in, or taught in schools. I'm a former educator. I was a teacher for over 40 years and taught at all levels from sixth grade through college. There is no business that the state has deciding what should be taught in the classroom. For one thing, the kinds of changes that people want seem to be clearly a violation of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which basically bars establishing a religion. That isn't really why I called today. I have a comment about Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson's campaigns. Very clearly, Johnson is trying to throw the race card in, and he's trying to sow fear and anger and hatred with his ads.
And it's working.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What has to happen, I think, is Barnes has to get some pretty pointed ads himself. And this is what I would have for his ads. I would start out with a voiceover saying, "This is Ron Johnson," and then a clip of his being asked about trying to deliver fraudulent lectures to Pence and replying that he was only involved for a few seconds. And then a later clip where he says, "Well, I was only involved for an hour or so." And then another voiceover that says, "Ron Johnson tried to commit election fraud. We need integrity in our elections. Mandela Barnes wants democracy in America. Mandela Barnes will vote to guarantee that."
So Jack, we've got Mandela Barnes in the studio on Tuesday, on next Tuesday. So, you know, you can suggest it. You want to respond to
Jack said? First of all, the state always has a role, actually, in determining the curriculum for public school students, right? The Department of Education puts out all sorts of guidelines. I think with Jack from Merrimack, which I can say all day, Jack from Merrimack.
Nice, right?
what I hear from you is that the state shouldn't be in the business of establishing curricula or library standards based on religious principles or the interpretation of religion as voiced by angry, predominantly white, rich, suburban parents. Couldn't agree more. On this show, on other shows, on my own show, I have spoken out about my deep concern over choice and charter schools where you have taxpayer dollars going to fund religious-based education. Right.
Yep.
Now, I'll say this. Do I believe that Howard Fuller and my dad, who helped Dr. Fuller implement the first charter and choice schools in the country here in Milwaukee, that that was an essential element to give predominantly black and brown families an outlet to combat the decades of redlining and underfunding of Milwaukee public schools, which only gets worse under Republican administrations? I sure do, because people deserve true and real choice. But the concept that religious education is now tied into and funded by public taxpayer dollars is deeply concerning. I don't think the decisions on that are right, meaning court decisions where that was challenged. But let's talk about Ron Johnson and Lieutenant Governor Barnes. Ron Johnson is a race-baiting, hate-mongering, rich guy jerk that inherited his money. And whether you talk about his participation, knowing participation in an attempted coup of our government, his opposition to abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest, and, oh, well, let's have a referendum. Yeah, but what are you going to do? And his idea to gut Social Security, to privatize those things. These opinions, these approaches to his campaign disqualify this man. The guy doesn't know that the drinking age in Wisconsin is 21. If you asked him what the price of milk is, he'd have no damn idea, because rich folk don't do normal folk stuff. Bye-bye, Ron. You ain't getting it done. I think Mandela needs to go full bore, full Monty. Attack this man because he is unfit to hold this office. And he's breaking his campaign promise. 2 terms and I'm out. Apparently not. Is anyone surprised that he's a big fat liar?
Says the dawn of resistance, Miss Maggie Dawn. Hey, Andy, thank you very much. Jack, thank you very much. Let's go to Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, Andy, how you doing? What do you say?
Well, Earl, you're not as old as I am, but you, even as a child, remember all the turbulent 60s.
Absolutely.
When you were a kid. Maggie probably was born in the 60s or even the 70s, but I don't know her. But anyway, you know,
I'd say 70s, but go ahead.
All right. Well, we'll give her that. So anyway, we thought that was terrible times, but now there's a real threat to our whole democracy by all the allowance of what I would call ignorant, low information people or voters, and it's really sad when you can turn on any media, whether it's YouTube or wherever, and get a ad from Americans for Prosperity with putting down Mandela, and you know this whole thing here. We're in a sad state of affairs, and I agree with Jack that it's time for Mandela to come out and really, lay it out what Ron Johnson actually is. I wish to help Ron Johnson would have stayed in Minnesota, wherever he grew up, because that guy was trouble from the day he got elected.
Well, I'll say this to you, Andy. We're just talking about Ron Johnson. But Tim Michaels might be even more dangerous.
Oh yeah!
All right, we gotta go to
Tim
break.
Michaels is-
we gotta go to break.
1, 2, make you wanna.
All All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My good friend Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, is back. Let's go to Ron from Milwaukee. Hey, Ron, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I'm circling back to something that was discussed earlier, which is it isn't just that conservatives and Republicans are grabbing more and more power that is undeserving. In other words, they acquired it through other than democratic means. But they have this whole institution that they've spent 30, 40, 50 years developing, and foundations, right-wing media, talk shows, the other thing. And now they've got this tight tie-in with religious fundamentalist religious groups, so that the drug example that was just mentioned in your ad, they feel like it's their right to say, my religious belief is I don't believe in abortion, I don't believe in LGBTQ, I don't believe in and all the rest. And therefore, you can't believe in it. And mm-hmm. if you try to believe in it, or you act on your beliefs, I'm going to go to conservative law firms and legislators.
Oh yeah,
law firms in Wisconsin, like Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which I think is Wisconsin Institute for Illegality and Unreality, and get a right wing court to agree with me. So I only have to serve people who think like me, and then. And that reflects also in the Republican Party Trumpism, which is the reason Trump holds sway and his crazy ideas hold sway is because Republican elected officials are scared of him. They're scared that, with rightfully so, because they're afraid they're going to get primaried. They're afraid they're going to get maybe killed now, because he talks about death threats to sidelong death threats to Mitch McConnell. It's all a package. We have to look at it that way, and I think that's what makes people the most uneasy about all this, even some conservatives.
Maggie?
I couldn't agree more, because, as you pointed out, this has been a very well-orchestrated plan that has been in the works for well over 50 years, right? And there is no mistake of the intersection of an extraordinarily militant gun rights movement, the far-right Christian nationalist movement, and now this intersection and takeover of the entirety of the Republican Party. None of that is by accident. It is by design. And what it all stands for in the end sum is exactly as you articulated it. If I believe in XYZ, I will prevent you from acting in any way that doesn't accord with my beliefs. It is the opposite of democratic values. It's the opposite of democratic systems. We now have an entirely illegitimate Supreme Court. A Supreme Court orchestrated through voter suppression and gerrymandering that represents only a very tiny sliver of our country's thinking on most of the critical social questions of the time. I couldn't agree more. This court says you can't force somebody to make a cake for a gay person, but you can force a woman to carry a baby. I mean, what sort of religious freedom is that?
You know it. And the frustrating part of all of it is they're taking advantage of people who really don't understand the magnitude of what they're doing.
This reminds me, you know, trying to find the resurgence, the reconnectivity of labor and middle class. I think there's a reason that you're seeing increased levels of unionization and a reinvigoration of the labor movement for one of the first times basically since Reagan. I mean, unions have been systemically dismantled. We could have an entire
show. Unless they're firing police.
Yeah, unless they're firing police. Right. Thank you, Scott Walker. The thing that cripples the county and city's budget every year, firing police, pension benefits, right? But we could do a whole hour on that. Unions have some responsibility responsibility as well for their own sort of dismantling,
right.
and the toothlessness of the labor relations board, and so lots going on there. But there's a reason that labor is resurging, and I think when we looked at things like NAFTA as they occurred, I said, economists that I knew said at that time, if you don't always pair free trade policies with job relocation and retraining, you will end up with the demographic shifts or the gutting of the middle class as much as we've seen. Our economy has shifted into a service economy in large part. We still need to invest in manufacturing, but we also need to invest in those sort of, those relocation and retraining programs to make folks ready to enter into those good family-supporting labor jobs, right? We still have labor shortages here in the state of Wisconsin, and I don't hear Ron Johnson or Tim Michaels, who should know better, talking about how to fill those jobs with folks that are unemployed in this state.
So Ron, let me ask you, as you watch all of this unfold and friends that you have who may be on the other side of this, how do you attempt to try to have the dialogue with them, or is it just hopeless?
I don't think it's hopeless. For one thing, adding to what Maggie just said about taking away, the conflicts are being eliminated artificially. You know, we can't have healthy debate in the society as a democratic society because there's only one real truth. Well, that's actually starting to destroy the Republican Party because you've got the Freedom Caucus in the House and also in the Senate. Warning the mainstream Republicans, those that are left, that if they go astray, they're going to fight it, and they've already fought on some issues, and they've lost to Democratic principles just because they can't sometimes muster a majority to overcome, or at least a working plurality to overcome what we're trying to achieve.
Well, I mean, that's a Manchin and Sinema problem, right? Like,
yes.
the most important piece of legislation that could happen probably in my lifetime is a defense of voting rights. And Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, out of personal self-interest because of the states that they represent, were unwilling to break the filibuster to get that done with a Democratic president. We may lose the Senate, we will see, but hold those two people accountable and make no mistake what hand they've had to play here.
Look, Ron, I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for calling. Really appreciate the dialogue, all of you, and to my illustrious guest, Miss Maggie Dawn. Maggie, it's great to have you back in the studio. We're going to work on it and make sure that we get you in as often as we can. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thanks, Pastor Lewis and Souls to the Polls. Thank you, Connor. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.